I have a little thought to share this evening. Desire your prayers again. I'll write the title on the board. So I've written on the board, a test of God's love in us. And I want to start with a couple of things here of some different means of testing. The first thing is not necessarily about love, but it is a test for distinguishing something between being fake or real. And in this day and age, that is of, there's so many fakes of all kinds of things. And in particular, there's one thing I remember, years ago, had a job at the antique mall up there in Joplin. And the owner of the store, he liked to dabble in all kinds of things. And one thing he enjoyed dabbling in was coins. And so people were always bringing in all kinds of coins that they were wanting to sell or, you know, just, and he was willing to buy. But anytime they brought in silver or gold, he would get out his acid test kit. He's like, he didn't care what kind of certificates they had, what kind of, it looked legit, it felt legit. He's like, it didn't matter. So he'd get underneath the counter there and he'd take it or back to his desk. He wouldn't do it right in front of them. Or he'd let them go shop or whatever. And while they're shopping or doing their own thing or coming back later, he's over there doing the acid test. And I remember watching him. I was like, so how does this work? He said, well, basically, any fake metals, the acid would dissolve it. But the real gold, it would not damage it with this type of acid. And silver was the same way. But gold was the more extreme one. Anyway, that was just fascinating. That was how we determine if this was fake or real. But now I want to switch gears and talk about something that sometimes is not as noticeable, but yet it is. And that is, say, a love between parents and their children. Now, nowadays, it's like you hear parents say, oh, yes, I love my children, and I do this and this for them, and so on and so forth. But sometimes you really wonder, and I don't know if it's maybe the parents just don't know any better, they haven't been trained themselves, but they allow their children to do things that's just unfathomable. It's like they never are warned, they're never told, or they're never instructed or whatever. I'm like, do you really love them, you know? Or how deep is your love? But I remember an example in the Old Testament. You remember the example that King Solomon, early on in his reign, when the two mothers got in a squabble over a baby. And the one claimed that the baby was hers, and the other claimed the same. Well, it's obvious there's only one mother. And you remember how the story went. The test of a mother's love, King Solomon was very wise. And you remember what he declared? He's like, okay. He said, since you both are claiming this is your child, this is your baby, guard, get a sword, and let's divide it. Sounds pretty gruesome. King Solomon wasn't going to actually carry that out, okay? But it was testing because he knew the real mother would say exactly what she said. She said, oh no, don't harm the baby. Let her have it. It's just, it's not worth losing the baby's life. And he's like, all right, guard, stop. That's the real mother. That was the test of true love. She's saying, no, I'm willing to sacrifice my own pain and suffering to see my child not harmed, all right? That's a test of true love, okay? But in both of these kind of extreme different examples of testing gold and testing a mother's true love of her child, that took just minutes to decipher, all right? Testing what's true and what's fake. But I want to talk about something on a personal level with all of us. And John, the Apostle John, writes in his, in John the third chapter, I want to read some scriptures here. And he, we're going to turn to a few of different of his writings here. And he writes about some tests that can be conducted of God's love within us, within each other. And there's many. We're just going to touch on a few here this evening. But I want to turn to some very, perhaps some of the most quoted scriptures out of the Bible in John, the third chapter. And I want to read a few verses here. We'll start with verse 14. It says, "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I'm sorry, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved." So what I love about this is, first of all, God is the one that set the tone of what true love was, okay? In that he gave his only begotten Son. He was the one that started this whole wave, if you could say it this way, of true love, all right? Again, there's examples in the Old Testament where I believe some true love was demonstrated. But the purest form of it was what God demonstrated, that he gave his only begotten Son, all right? So that was true love. And then Jesus took it to another level, a personal level, as a human, all right, even though he's God in the flesh, but he experienced pain and discomfort just like you and I do, that he gave his own life willingly, offered and gave his own life for our sins, that we might be saved. So you think about it that way, he took God his Father's love and demonstrated it on a personal earthly level for us, okay? So again, he's setting the tone and the example of what true love is, all right? So, otherwise, how would we know how to love truly, okay? Now again, we have some basis for it, some of the Old Testament teachings and scriptures show us that. But God took it to the highest level possible, okay? So, now I want to continue. That's just one example of God and his son Jesus demonstrating that for us. But I want to turn to 1 John, the third chapter. And again, we're just going to touch on a few this evening. But this is a passage in 1 John 3, verses 17 and 18. It says, But whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother have need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. So, what John is saying here is, it's one thing to say, I love you, whether it's to any of your loved ones or if it's even to God, but even to your fellow man, your brother or sister that is in need. Remember the scripture Jesus said something about, be warmed and filled, and then yet they go away and they don't do anything about it. In other words, they don't extend a hand to help somebody that's in need. So what he's saying here is, how dwelleth, it says, but whoso hath this world's good, and seeth his brother in need, and shutteth up his bowels of compassion from him, how dwelleth the love of God in him? So the inverse of that would be someone that opens up their bowels of compassion and helps someone that's in need and has mercy upon them. They're demonstrating, without saying a word, they're demonstrating God's love. They're demonstrating genuine, real love for their fellow man. And again, they don't have to say a thing, because it goes on, it says, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. In other words, back up your words with your actions. Let your actions do the talking, all right? You can say you love someone, but until you prove it with your actions, it's not true love, all right? So I want to read another passage back in St. John, the 13th chapter. We're just laying a little foundation here before we move on. In St. John 13, verses 34 and 35, says, "A new commandment I give unto you." Now, this is what separates true religion versus fake religion, all right? Because this is a new commandment. All these other religions prior to this, they were focused on themselves. And in fact, ever since then, a fake religion, if you understand what I'm saying, one that has no substance to it, okay? And one that is self-consuming, all right? But true Christianity and true love is demonstrated by this. He says, "A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." That is a powerful statement. And Jesus, as he spoke those words, you realize he was speaking from authority because he did that. He demonstrated his love, not just when he died on the cross. That was the supreme example of love and sacrifice. But all the years prior to that, and all his interactions with mankind, he was demonstrating, not just in word, but in deed. He didn't have to go around, which I know he did, go around and tell different ones, you know, "I love you," and so on and so forth. But he acted that way. Indeed, he was loving everyone around him. But again, it says, "By this shall all men know that you are my disciples." In other words, the true acid test, if you could say it this way, of someone, it says that you, if you are my disciples, you're going to love one another. Just think about that for a little bit. In any type of group, whatever it is, you can tell that if someone is truly sold out to that group, and I'm even talking outside of religious groups, just whatever type of group people form, if they truly are sold out to that group, so to speak, then they stick together. They love each other, right? And it's obvious by the things that they do for each other and how they will back up and support one another. But on such a deeper, more meaningful level, when it comes to God's church and being a Christian, when we love each other and we demonstrate it by the things that we do for one another, that is a true test of God's love in us, okay? Now, we'll take this a little deeper, or just expound upon this a little bit. Because true love involves sacrifice and unselfishness, okay? Again, think about it as being a parent. We all have been affected by parents. Whether we're a parent ourselves, or we are raised by parents, or we're a child and we have parents of our own, a lot of sacrifice and unselfishness is involved in parenting. That's just how life is, okay? If it's true love in the home, all right? But thinking of our brothers and sisters in the Lord, we'll just talk about that specifically, referring to the scripture we just read. Some examples of that would be preferring our brother or sister in the Lord. In other words, we are quick to support and encourage them. Prefer them, allow them space and room to be who they are, all right? In other words, not trying to say, You've heard this phrase, there's no room for big I's and little U's. You understand what I'm saying? Where it's no, rather, I'm going to let brother or sister so-and-so, let them have some space, let them have some time, let them have some room, and we give them some liberty, so to speak, to be who they are, all right, and not try to put them in a little box, say, oh, you can only do this, and sit, you know, that type of thing, but to prefer our brother or sister in the Lord. And here's some more things. And scriptures talk, and I'm not going to turn and read all these scriptures that back this up, but scripture talks about rejoicing with them when they rejoice. When some things go well for someone in the church, you're glad for them. That's a test of God's love in us. We don't scowl and go, oh man, I wish that was me. I wish that, you know, it's like, oh, well, thank the Lord. I'm happy for you. I'm thankful God worked that out for you and God blessed you with such and such or whatever. We're happy for them, all right? Rejoice with them, all right? They rejoice. And here's another. This is an obvious one, but it goes deep and there could be a lot more said about it. But again, a test of God's love in us would be forgiving one another. There's all kinds of things, different things we could go into that. But forgiving one another, being long-suffering with one another. For instance, I remember hearing different stories throughout the years where, and this is just funny because it's almost like, because I know growing up in a big family, we, you know, all my different siblings, we all had, you know, different personalities and different quirks and different things we would, funny things we would say or do, or maybe we mispronounce certain words or say funny, whatever. It's like, you know, that's just my brother, or that's just my sister, or whatever. And we just kind of, it's no big deal. We're just part of family, you know. We don't really like pick them apart and say, well, that's just, you know, we just like, oh, that's just who they are. And so, in a sense, you're just long suffering with them because, well, that's my brother. Well, that's my sister. But you know, the same thing goes with the family of God. And with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, that we're just a big family, and there are some things maybe that we say or do that's kind of funny or silly or quirky or whatever, but it's okay. It's just, again, allow them some space and some room to be just who they are, and be long-suffering with them. Maybe sometimes we're slow learners, you know? Sometimes we just don't get it, and maybe after a while, it'll finally sink in. We'll finally get it or figure it out. And here's some more things. These are just basic scriptural godly principles here. But one of the other tests of God's love is when we are willing to pray for our brother and sister. Even, and let me say, I'm just going to give a personal testimony here. I remember years ago, several years ago, just early on in my ministry, there was a particular minister that I felt like he said or did something with one of my loved ones, and he was innocent, and he didn't realize he offended someone, and I kind of took exception to that. I didn't say anything to him. I just, and it covers a lot of these things we've been talking about, and I knew there just wasn't something right there, and I didn't know what to do with it. I just kept it within, and I talked to the Lord about it, but every time I would talk to this brother, it's kind of like, But then the Lord finally helped me get a hold of something. And to where I was actually able to pray for him and pray for myself. I'm like, you know what? This is a little issue here that I need the Lord's help in this. I wasn't truly the testing of God's love in me for this brother. It just wasn't there. And it wasn't complete, and I didn't feel right about it. And he didn't realize it, all right? But I remember the time the Lord helped me break through that. And I remember giving that brother a genuine handshake and a hug, and everything was good. he didn't know, all right? But in my heart, I felt like I was able to pray for him. I was long-suffering with him. I was able to forgive him. All those things were encapsulated in allowing God's love to flow through me to him. And it was genuine again. And I'm grateful for that That was something years ago. And now to the present day, it's like, it's just the same old genuine love. The godly embrace of our fellowship one with another. And that is so valuable, so meaningful for me. It's been a wonderful lesson. And here's some more things. Going along with praying for our brothers or sisters. And that is taking it to another level of, the scripture talks about, bear you one another's burdens. In other words, when we get under a burden, not of something that drags us down, but we realize maybe our brother or sister in the Lord is in a weakened condition. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's emotionally or spiritually or whatever it is. And we come alongside them and put our arms around them, so to speak, and say, brother, sister, I'm here for you. I want to help you. I want to pray for you. Is there anything I can do for you? And there's something about that that is so moving when that's done in a genuine, where it's enacted upon genuinely and it's received genuinely. And the Lord blesses that. There's power in that. And many other things. Again, being merciful and compassionate. But again, true love isn't forced, nor is it just talked about. It's put into action. And we'll say it this way. True love, no one has to convince us and persuade us that you need to love your brother or your sister in the Lord. You know what? It just comes naturally. When we have the love of the Lord flowing in us, then it comes out. And we love our brothers and sisters in the Lord. And then to think of this too, I'd already touched on this earlier, that we don't have to broadcast or brag about our love. It just comes out. We do it gladly and quietly. We're not tooting our horn. We're not, what's the scripture talks about, not letting your right hand know what your left hand is doing. Some of that's mentioned more in maybe almsgiving and being benevolent in that way. But it can also be demonstrated in just demonstrating our love for our brother or sister. That we don't have to tell the world, hey, everyone, watch what I'm doing over here. Look how I'm loving my brother and my sister. We don't do that. It's we just do it. It just comes. The Lord inspires us to say or do something. And we just quietly go about and we do that. And then we go on our merry way. We don't have to have a reward for that. The reward is seeing God blessing our brother or sister. That's our reward. And God's pleased with that. But again, another little tidbit of this, of a test of God's love, would be not believing or spreading evil reports about our brothers or sisters, but choosing rather to think the best about each other. And, you know, again, we're human, and sometimes we perceive things a certain way. And I know I've been on both ends of it myself. And how do I say this? Again, we're human. But when the Lord reveals something that maybe we've erred in one way or the other, or maybe someone else has done something that has even offended us, or vice versa, that God has his way of showing and revealing those things to us. And then it's up to us to say, okay, Lord, do I want to allow your love to flow through me, or am I going to cut it off, so to speak? So, in some of these things that I talked about this evening, again, we covered several aspects and referred several scriptures. But again, the true love, you realize that even children can detect when there's true love being involved. I don't know how many times I've heard little children, they can detect it in their parents, like their mom and dad, or in their other siblings, or other relatives, or just other people in general. They can detect so quick that they love each other. Or they can detect they don't like each other. But there's something about it. Even children can detect things so quickly. And so what that puts on me is like, Lord, help me to to have it said of me that a child can detect my love without me saying a word, so to speak, to that child, but just a child observing, saying, they love each other. That's a challenge. And not just in the home, but in, again, abroad, in, within the church, with our brothers and sisters in the Lord. But I want to conclude with this. So in life, there will be some acid test of life, so to speak, about our love for God and for each other. But I'm thankful that in the end, love speaks for itself. When there's true love, it withstands all the acid tests of life. It withstands all the attacks, all the misunderstandings, all the whatever. True love perseveres through all of that. Think about Jesus and the examples that he set and that what he demonstrated in his life. His love endured all the way to the end. He gave his life. And his love is still continuing. It's something that the world, they crave it. They don't understand that they're missing that. But that's one thing, and I just want to share this too. I don't know how many times I've been out at Monarch and other places where there's large gatherings of God's people. And you know what I've heard people, visitors that have come among us, that they walk away and later we hear a report of their perception and what they detected in us. And one of the main things that they come back with is they felt God's love there. You know, that is a wonderful testimony. That is something wonderful to have said about us. But the only way that's going to continue is if we individually pass that test of God's love within us individually, then when we come together collectively, folks, it's going to be automatic. People can come in among us and they're going to go, wow. No one is saying it per se. No one's shouting and blowing a trumpet over here. Oh, look what I'm doing. Look what, you know, it's no. They just feel God's love. They detect that in our spirits. And folks, that is powerful. That's something we can cherish. And that's something we can take with us till our dying day, that this is our testimony is, I love the Lord, and I love my brothers and sisters in the Lord. And that is the greatest testimony we can have. So that's my little thoughts tonight. Lord, help us all to be proven guilty of having God's love within us. You pray for me.